Thank you so much for having me. My name is Michael Finley. I'm definitely an alcoholic, and I just wanted to say, first off, earlier this week it had come aware to me that I'd broken a group conscience here, as well as possibly breaking some AA traditions. And I just wanted to say, first of all, to the group members, I'm very sorry. I apologize for that. I was completely unaware of that, that I was doing that. And everything that I brought to this meeting, I was intent to be helpful and, talking and dealing with my experience. So if anybody was offended by those things, I also apologize, and I also stand ready to make them right in any way that I can. In addition to that, in terms of anybody wants to talk to me about traditions, I'd love to learn about your experience with those things. And if anybody wants to talk to me about this, I'm going to hang out after the meeting for a while. If anybody wants to talk about these things, again, I'm here, I stand ready, and I'd love to learn. And if anybody has any suggestions about how I may be able to make things right, let me know. Mm-hmm. I'm here for that. So thank you. And how convenient that I'm on step 10. Where I get to continue to watch, take personal inventory, and when I'm wrong, promptly admitted it. It also asks me to watch for things like resentment, fear, selfishness, and dishonesty. And what's kind of neat is that a result of this process, not only do I get to watch for these things, but sometimes people let me know. Sometimes people show me, you may have been off here, you may have been off there, you may have said some things that you shouldn't have fear. And thankfully, because of this process, I get to sit still, write some inventory, talk to a sponsor, talk to people who have experience, and move forward with God's help, right? And so it's neat. And and just also to be clear, I'm an alcoholic named Michael Finley. I don't speak for AA, right? I have not been hired by AA to speak or represent AA in any way, shape, or form. This is just my experience with this book and this process. And AA does have some things to say about this, and I just wanted to read it. It's on page 28. Just in case anybody's either listened online or was here last week or the previous weeks and have any questions about any of this stuff. On page 28, and somewhere a little bit down towards the middle, second, third paragraph, it says, "We have no desire to convince anyone that there is only one way by which faith can be acquired. If what we have learned and felt and seen means anything at all, it means that all of us, whatever our race, creed, or color, are the children of a living Creator with whom we form a relationship upon simple and understandable terms, as soon as we are willing and honest enough to try." And I guess to remain willing and honest enough to try. "Those having religious affiliations will find here nothing disturbing to their beliefs or ceremonies. There is no friction among us over such matters." And, that's AA's take on some of these things. And, I do stand behind this book and that statement. Mm-hmm. Now step 10, and which we can find on page 84 and 85. There is something here called the 10-step promises. But I'd like to call them right now the 10-step questions. Right? Let's take a look. It's page 84. We take these statements, we turn them into questions, and they're good questions to ask myself wherever I am in this process. Right? Wherever I am in this process, if it be day 1, day 78, year 1, year 78, year 10, year 20. Have I ceased, it's towards the bottom here on page 84, have I ceased fighting anything or anyone? Have I? Anything or anyone? Am I still fighting political institutions, religious institutions? Am I still fighting the police, my mother, my father, my kids? Am I fighting myself? anything or anyone, gas station attendants, prices of gas, you know, whatever it is. Am I fighting anything or anyone? Right? It's a question that, it's always a good question to ask myself. Even alcohol. Am I still fighting alcohol? Am I still fighting other things that cause me harm? Am I still trying to, you know, am I not going bowling because they serve liquor at the bowling alley? Am I not going to weddings and ceremonies and other things? You know, am I sitting there white knuckling it with when it comes to booze, you know, not drinking no matter what, even if my ass falls off? Am I still fighting it like that? It's a good question. Or have I suddenly found myself fighting? It seemed to be, you know, not a problem early off. Now it's becoming a problem, right? And it's a question to ask myself. Have I ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol? Has sanity returned? Right? Has sanity returned when it comes to drink? That's one question. You know, has sanity returned when it comes to liquor? Has sanity returned in other areas of my life? You know? Or am I still, like, delusionally, you know, thinking, oh, she's sleeping with this one, she's sleeping with that one, he's having an affair with that. You know, my mom really doesn't like me. The kids are really laughing at me. You know, nobody here respects me. Mm-hmm. You know, am I still doing that type of thing? Right? One, you know, if I'm answering, if any of these things make me feel uncomfortable, if any of these answers that I tell myself make me feel uncomfortable, it's a possibility. And we got to remember, right? This is the 10th step. This is the result as completing 1 through 9. But in some respects, before going into the 10th step and the instructions and how I do it, in reading these promises, you know, my sponsor asks me to answer myself these things. Are these things happening for me in my life? And if they're not happening, if sanity hasn't returned, if I am still fighting alcohol, if I am still fighting people, the question is what haven't I done? What haven't I done leading up to this? Have I held some things back on my fourth step? You know, have I not made certain amends? Do I not stand ready to make certain amends? Right? Am I still turning myself over to this power? Are things being revealed to me through this process, through prayer and meditation, and I'm not doing them? Right? Because chances are, if I am not, I'm not going to have these things that they're at, you know, these promises. I am going to feel uncomfortable with these questions. If tempted, do I recoil from it am I seldom interested in liquor? Or am I still have the obsessive mind? Am I still thinking about it? You know, am I still playing it through? You know, am I still doing that at 10 years, 5 years, 3 years? Am I still doing that type of mentality? Because that's not what this book promises. This is not what this that's not what this process is here to do. For me, it gives me a way to think the drink through. Right? This gives me a situation where the problem is removed, where I'm seldom interested in these things. Do I recoil from it as if from a hot flame? You know, meaning like, whoa, you know, where alcohol is involved, you know, am I going, whoa, 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 that's poison, no good, you know? Or am I still kind of trying to get some vicarious fun out of hanging out at the bars or the liquor stores or sniffing people's drinks or, you know, holding their other paraphernalia and stuff like that? Am I still trying to live vicariously through other people? Am I, you know, trying to, am I regretting the good old days? Right? Am I living in that place? Right? Or is just the good old days a memory that, you know, were good old days, but I'm also, you know, fond to be out of the bad old days? Right? And then here's another thing, right? How about anything else that causes me harm? Anything else that causes problems for me? Right? Am I recoiling from those things as if I'm a hot flame? Like, for example, yeah, it's only a Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, right? Now, I know from my experience, maybe a Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue may cause problems in my relationships, may cause problems with my relationship with God, may have, you know, lead me down to some other roads that breaks me off from this power. I've made a sex ideal. God has revealed certain things to me by playing around with this issue. Well, you know, yeah, sure, it's whatever rating it might be through the rating system, but, you know, however people believe about something like that. But in some respects, it's a hot flame for some of us. Am I recoiling from other things that cause me harm? How about the credit card? You know, I've got a shopping problem. Am I hanging out on Amazon for 5 hours? You know, I'm not buying anything, but I'm playing on Amazon for 5 hours. I'm starting to create a wish list of the things that I'm going to get when I pay off this bill and when I get the max down to 150, then I'm going to buy this. Am I doing these things? Am I recoiling from this other stuff that that brings me trouble? Right? Right? It's fighting anything or anyone. That's the promises here. Right? This isn't an issue for me any longer. Somebody has something negative to say about me, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I'm safe and protected. I know I'm cool. That's your opinion. That's your experience. If there is something that we need to clear up, we clear it up. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to clear it up, okay. You know, I'll pray for you, but I'm okay. Right? Mm-hmm. But am I staying away from other things that are causing me harm? How about violence or anger and these other things? Right? Or am I still getting something from that? Am I still feeding from that? It's a good question, you know? Am I recoiling from it, or am I playing in these dangerous games, right? Where, you know, sober, in Alcoholics Anonymous, walking with a power, a solution, or, you know, whatever it might be, and I'm, you know, still getting the cops called on me for domestic issues, being too loud with my car radio, or anything like that. Do I react sanely and normally? And another way to go about this, if you're early in recovery, is do I believe, right? Do I believe as a result of this process? Do I believe that as a result of working these 12 steps? Do I believe that when I come to this point, finishing my amends, working in inventory, doing a fifth step, that I will react sanely and normally? Do I believe that I will find that this has happened automatically? And do I believe that I will get a whole new attitude given to me without any thought or effort on my part? It's another way to go through it. If you're here just for a few days, if you're here and you haven't had an experience yet, if you're here and you're looking for a sponsor, or you haven't made it to the 10th step, do I believe that this is going to work? Do I believe that this is what's going to happen to me as a result of doing these things? You know, am I finding hope in these pages? You know, do I believe it happened to my sponsor or to the guy who spoke at the meeting last night? Right? Do I believe this stuff? You know, or am I willing to believe? How about that? Have I seen that this new attitude toward liquor has been given to me? Given to me. It's a gift. Right? It's a gift given to me from God. I don't have to do anything, to earn it. What's interesting about these 10-step promises, right, is that they are different than the 9-step promises, right? Because they are not things that are physically seen. They are things that are just given to me and just naturally comes. It just becomes a part of my working mind. It becomes a part of my working daily behaviors. Has that been my experience? You know, do I have a new attitude towards liquor? Or am I sitting here not going to a Yankees game unless I get like 2 or 3 busloads of sober people to surround an entire section, call it the sober Westfield group, so that I can sit safely in a Yankee game and not go home and catch alcoholism or catch drunk or something like that. And let me tell you something. I know people in AA who do just that. In fact, one of them sponsored me for a little while. I discovered that it wasn't something that I wanted. I want to be able to go to Yankee Stadium and not have any problems. I want to be able to go to concerts. I love these things, right? I don't want to have to avoid this stuff, right? You know, has this been given to me without any thought or effort on my part? Meaning like, you know, has the experience come where it's just like I wake up one day and I'm like, I'm not thinking about it. I don't care about it. If you offer it to me, it's not even a thing. Right? That's what it's asking me. That's the promise, but this is the questions. Has it just come? Do I believe that that it is just here and that is the miracle of it? And do I believe that maybe this is a miracle? And if not, again, what am I not doing right? Have I not fully conceded to my innermost self that I'm a real deal alcoholic? Or am I still playing games thinking that someday I can control it? That I'm coming to AA for a little while and in about 2 years, you know, I can start, you know, drinking beer only. Or that I have another maintenance way of going through it, right? Because there's other ways, right? Taking a few extra pills, right? Taking some anxiety meds, you know, in a way that's not prescribed to me by a doctor. You know, how about, you know, if I lived in California, would I be still playing by their rules when it comes to some of the other substances that help people with things? Am I using these things? And do I need these things, or is this just happening to me? Yeah. Am I fighting it? Am I avoiding a temptation? Again, same thing. Oh, can't go to the Yankees game. Mm-hmm. Right? Do I feel as though I have been placed in a position of neutrality, that I'm safe and protected? Have I sworn off? Am I still playing those games? You know, or am I or has the actual problem been removed? And being at this point in time, I'm aware of what the problem is. It's called me. And the fear and the anxiety and the delusions, you know, and the way I react to people. Have those things been removed too? Because if I'm still having fights with her over what she did last night, guess what? There's a drink around the corner. There's a drink in the backseat of my car. There's a drink somewhere down the road in this deal. If I'm still experiencing the fear, if I'm still experiencing the resentment, if I'm still experiencing constant selfishness, then the problem has not been removed. Let me ask myself, is that true? Or does it still exist for me? Right? Or am I being cocky? Oh, I don't have to worry about it. It's not a big deal. Right? Or am I afraid? Still constantly afraid. You know, someone's talking at the meeting. They're talking about their drunkalogue. They're talking so much about the Heineken and the you know, the Johnny Walker and the, you know, maybe the hanging out in the Yankee Stadium parking lot until, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden I'm getting nervous. Oh, they're talking about Heineken. That's a thing. That's a trigger. Better not go down the Christmas tree path because, you know, that's a trigger too. Right? Am I still afraid? Afraid of the triggers. Can't see that friend from high school because he's a trigger. Can't go to my high school reunion because all of those people, I drank with them 10 years ago, that's a trigger. You know, am I afraid? This tells me I will not be cocky nor afraid. Just cool. Just cool being me. Just cool with whatever it is. Cool with this power. And totally aware that if something comes up, I got the power, and it's going to take me anywhere it damn chooses, and I will be safe. Says that is our experience. Is that yours? Do I believe that that is how I react as long as I remain in fit spiritual condition? Or do I think... You know, or do I believe it is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on yesterday's accomplishments? Do I believe that the inventory I wrote in 1995 and the amends that I made in 1995 is enough? Am I resting on that experience, or am I still seeking this power? Am I still seeking to expand in growth and learning and understanding of God as I understand Him? Or am I just accepting, you know, a small concept? Am I growing in this area? Am I still actively making amends and keeping clean as I go? Fit spiritual condition. Am I helping others? Am I working with new people? Am I carrying this message? Or, sorry, not going to the meeting tonight. The Oscars are on. Yankees are in game 7. You know, sorry, AA. You know, I'm cool. Right? You know, sorry, new guy, can't help you out. You know, I'm baking bread. You know, whatever it is, right? These are the stories why some of us may not answer a phone,
right?
You know, and do I believe that? Do I believe that it is easy to let up on my spiritual program of action and rest on my laurels? And do I believe that I'm going to head into trouble if I do? Do I believe now at this point in time that alcohol is a subtle foe? It wants me to believe, you know, maybe even at this point in time, it wants me to believe another lie. It wants me to believe another story. It wants me to obsess over the gambling or over the spending or over the swimsuit issue. It wants me to obsess over these things, right? Because over here, it knows that if you slide a Heineken in front of me, I'm not going to play that game. But let's just, you know, let's get him on Amazon for 5 or 6 hours. Let's take him to Vegas for a quick trip. Let him max out his credit cards. Let him come home feeling like crap. Let him start being dishonest with his wife. Let him start being dishonest with his mother and father. Right? Let him hold himself up into some, you know, righteous indignation about why he's right about everything. Right? Subtle foe alcohol is. Because right in the middle of my fight of trying to prove of how right I am and everything, there's a drink. It's just all of a sudden it's going to slam in front of me, and next thing I know, I'm doing it. Or something else that's going to cause me harm. Is this my experience? Do I believe this? Do I believe this on day one? Alcohol is a subtle foe. Do I believe this on day on year seven? You know? Do I believe I'm not cured of alcoholism? Do I believe what I really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition? Do I? If I do believe these things, if I do have, can answer satisfactorily to these things, then the instruction is every day is the day when I must carry the vision of God's will into all of my activities, not just at AA meetings, not just at the liquor store, at home, at work, at the ball field, at the pool hall, at the family dinners, right? All of my activities. Driving in the car by myself. Am I carrying the vision of God's will into all of my activities? Or am I resting into some little secret stuff? You know? Mm-hmm. Oh, I got out of work a little bit early. She thinks I'm coming home at 6. I'm out at 3. Let me pop into this place. She'll never know. Am I doing some of that stuff? Right? Showing up at 6, acting like I, you know, came straight from the work. Or coming a little late. Oh, God, the traffic. Right? Right? Am I doing this stuff? Am I carrying the vision of God's will into all my activities? And if I am answering no to these things, I don't believe this, this is not working out for me, this is not the experience I'm having, I am still fighting out anything and everyone, I'm still fighting alcohol, I'm still finding this stuff, I recommend you to get a sponsor and who's going to take you through this thing, or get right with the stuff that's already, you know what the story is, make it right with yourself now. Write that inventory, talk to that sponsor, go into that establishment and ask for help or ask for forgiveness or whatever it is that needs to be done. Chances are, if you've gotten to this point, you've been around here for a while, you already know that if these questions are making you feel uncomfortable, you already know what the stuff is you need to do. And if not, there's teachers out there. They're called sponsors. They hopefully you grab one who's had a spiritual experience doing this work, and they will guide you to find and see the things that you're doing wrong. Right, or needs to be done. But the instruction is, if I do answer satisfactorily to all these things, how can I best serve thee, God? Thy will, not mine, be done. Right? Please let me carry the vision of your will into all of my activities. Right? And am I trusting the power, and I trust you, dear God, you know, as this power to allow me to work along these lines as much as you allow me to, right? Yeah. So these are the 10-step questions, right? So what else? A good question is my ego outgrowing my concept? Is my ego outgrowing my concept of God? Am I starting to feel that I am in control of a lot of other things? Am I starting to believe that there's a Roman God that is only interested in liquor and is not interested in anything else? And I don't mean anything about Roman gods, but do I believe that there's a God who's only dealing with alcohol and has nothing to do about my resentments, my selfishness, my dishonesty, my personal affairs, my relationships, or other things? Have I grown to the point where I think I'm managing all of these things and not... do I believe that I'm in control and managing these things? It tells me very clearly that my spiritual growth is absolutely necessary for me to maintain. It's growth and maintenance. In early recovery, my sponsors had me reading pages 84 to 88 every day from day one. Day one, read these 84 to 88. I wasn't given great any major instructions to do. Just read 84 to 88 every day. On the first step, read 84 to 88. On the second step, read 84 to 88. On the fourth step, read 84 to 88 every day. Every day. So what my experience was, and this is what came to me. This, again, my experience wasn't instructed in the book. But I kind of used this as a prayer. And in early recovery, it looked like this. And I'm speaking in a way, I understand I'm not here. I'm speaking in a way, thanking God for a gift that I'm about to receive. I'm thanking God for a promise that, you know, that when I hold up my end of the bargain, I will receive these things. So I say, dear God, no matter how far down the scale I have gone, I will see how my experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. I will lose interest in selfish things, and I will gain interest in my fellows, dear God. Please, God, allow the self-seeking to slip away. Allow my whole attitude and outlook upon life to change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave me. I will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle me and sometimes still are, dear God. And I will suddenly realize that, God, you are doing for me what I cannot do for myself. And I do not think that these are extravagant promises, God, because they are being fulfilled among my sponsor and people in my home group. And it will happen amongst me, quickly or slowly. And I believe, dear God, that as long as I walk with you, these things will materialize as I work for them. And of course, you know, there will be a time where I will be at step 10, which will suggest I continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any and new mistakes as I go along. I will vigorously commence this way of living as I clean up my past. I will have entered the world of your spirit. My function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness of you, dear God, and this is not an overnight matter. It will continue for my entire life. And I will continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And when these things come up, dear God, I will come to you at once to remove them. And I will discuss them with someone immediately. And I will make amends quickly if I have harmed anyone. Then I will resolutely turn my thoughts to someone I can help. For love and tolerance of others is my code. And I would have to say this one over and over again. You know, in early recovery. For dear God, love and tolerance of others is my code. Love and tolerance of others, dear God, is my code. Thank you for love and tolerance and this being my code. And I will cease fighting anything or anyone. For this time, by that time, when I finish these things, sanity will return in my life. And I will seldom be interested in liquor. And if I am tempted, I will recoil from it as from a hot flame. And I will react sanely and normally. And I will just find that this has happened automatically because of the gift that you will give me. A new attitude towards liquor without any thought or effort on my part. It'll just come. And that is the miracles that you promise me and that you give me. I will not be fighting it. Neither will I be avoiding temptation. I will feel as though I will be placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected, and I will not even swear off. Instead, dear God, the problem will be removed. It will not exist for me. I do believe that I won't be cocky, nor will I be afraid. And that will be my experience. That will be how I react as long as I keep in fit spiritual condition with you. God, I know from my experience, it is easy for me to let up on this spiritual program of action and to rest on my laurels. I do know that I will be headed for trouble if I do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. I am not cured of alcoholism, God. What I really will have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. Today is a day when I must carry the vision of your holy will into all of my activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not my will, be done. These are the thoughts which must go with me constantly. Please help me to have these thoughts with me all the time, God. I can and will someday exercise my will power along this line as long as you wish, for that is the proper use of the will you have given me. Much has been already said to me throughout my life's experience and through this book and through the people that are teaching me about receiving your strength and your inspiration and direction from you, dear God, who is all knowledge and all power. Dear God, please help me to follow carefully the directions. Help me to begin to sense the flow of your Holy Spirit into me and to some extent to become conscious of you in some way, shape, or form of you today. I will begin and continue to develop this vital sixth sense. I do understand, dear God, that when I leave my knees in this prayer, that I must go further, and that will mean more action. That's how early days, day one, day two, day 33, day 90, you know, year one, 84 to 88 was me doing it like this, turning these, this whole thing, turning it into a prayer, thanking God for a gift that I'm about to receive, thanking God for His promises, looking towards these promises, looking towards that light at the end of the tunnel, looking towards these things. And as the result of this stuff, seeing it, seeing my selfishness and dishonesty on day two, seeing my selfishness and dishonesty on year and a half, whatever you want to call it. Right? Seeing that stuff and going to God, asking for them to be removed, taking these actions. Right? Later on, right? It becomes like this. Instead of me, it says here, right? That I will continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Page 84. That I will continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And that when these things come up, I will ask God at once to remove them. I will discuss them with someone immediately, and I will make amends quickly if I've harmed anyone. And early recovery was like this. Instead of me watching for selfishness, dishonesty, and resentment, and fear, what I was doing, and I thought I was watching. But instead of me watching, what I was doing was waiting. I was waiting for resentment. I was waiting for fear. I was waiting for selfishness and dishonesty. Not like I'm like, okay, here comes a day of selfishness and dishonesty. Not like that. But meaning like when these things came up, right? It'd be like this. Oh, dear God, please remove my lust. Dear God, please remove my lust. Please remove my selfishness. Dear God, please remove my anger. Remove my anger. Please, God, remove my anger. Remove my anger. And I would say these things. Whatever was bothering me, remove it. Remove it. Please remove it, dear God. Please remove it. You know, and I'd be waiting for it to happen and be asking over and over, please remove it, please remove it, please remove it. And if that thing didn't go away, if that feeling didn't get better, if that feeling didn't subside, then I'm like, okay, let's call Eddie. You know, let's call Big Jim. I'm going to talk about it. You know, Mom said this. It kind of got really uncomfortable. I raised my voice. It was a thing. I want to go in there and I want to show her how right I am or how wrong she is and whatever. I don't know what to do. Let me go out on the front lawn. Let me have an hour-long conversation with an AA about, you know, about my drama. Right? And that's what I would be doing. Right? And after that hour-long phone call with Big Jim, either who had the same amount of time as me with the same sponsor, or with somebody with a little bit more time who was patient and loving and tolerant towards me and all my craziness, you know, giving me some sort of peace and some sort of direction, I'd be able to go back inside and be like, you know, thanks, Mom, for that great idea. Or, you know, I was wrong. I shouldn't have slammed the door. I shouldn't have said whatever, you know. Yeah, I love you. Thank you for trying. Whatever. Whatever that direction would be. And in early recovery, that's what the 10th step was like for me. Right? I'd be waiting for this thing. When it came, I would beg for it to be removed. And then, you know, let me spend some time with, you know, with the AA gurus about how to, you know, how either they're right, they're wrong, I'm right, they're, you know, whatever the case is, and deal with, and spill my drama. Right? And that's okay, right? I mean, in some respects, you know, thankfully, I did call Eddie, who had years of experience with this book. You know, thankfully, I did call Big Jim, who knew about this process and the way that I was doing it, and our fellow sponsors. And I did call Peter, and I did call, you know, Rob, and Justin, and the people that, you know, I trusted in AA that were on this path and that were trying to do, you know, the right thing. And that they maybe they're a little sick and twisted just like me, and they still had their faults and everything else. But I would lean on these people to talk to during these times. You know, and there were times, right, when, you know, my second time through the work, I had this sponsor who asked me to call him every day. And I believe God led me to this guy. I still believe it. And he had me writing inventory, and I was writing inventory. He had me writing inventory every day. I'm writing my fourth step every day, and he's, you know, it's having a new experience with this work. And he asked me to call every day, and I remember being like, oh, gosh, I forgot my call. He needed the call by 9 o'clock, and here it is, 11 o'clock. I'm saying my prayers, oh, God, I forgot to call Rob. I'm in big trouble. I called Rob the next day. Hey, dude, I'm sorry about the call. I'm sorry. You know, but then later on, it happened like, oh my gosh, it's Thursday. I didn't call him. Then next thing I know, I'm definitely going to call him tomorrow. Somehow Friday at 11 o'clock, I didn't call him again. I'm like, oh man, this is a problem, whatever. And he's, you know, he's the butt kicker. That's what I asked for. That's what I wanted, you know, and here he is. And I go to him on Friday. The ink is drying on my sex ideal, right? I'm finishing the last bit of my four-step inventory. And he says, listen, dude, here's the story. You're going to have to take everything, throw it out in the garbage, all your previous inventory. You're going to have to toss and throw away if you want to keep working with me, right? And I was done. I was done. I mean, that day, 5 years sober, it didn't matter who God was. It didn't matter what was going on. I called up my boss. I said, listen, dude, here's the story. I'm here at your restaurant. I'm running the scene. I'm just letting you know right now. I love you. I care about you. But you know my story. I just got some crazy news. At some point in the time, in this day, I'm going out drinking. I can't handle this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, this guy's telling me to throw everything away and whatever because I don't make some phone calls or whatever. I have this problem. I am going out to drink. I know this is happening in my head. I just have a little bit of responsibility to this guy. I want him to come home so I could come back to the job so I could go leave it and go drink and whatever. I have this conversation with him in the back parking lot. He's like, listen, here's the story. If you want to go drink or whatever, and this guy parties with me, so he totally supports me doing whatever. He's like, you know, I'm just, you know, please let me go to the store one more time, buy some more stuff. This is like Saturday. We're getting, you know, we're going to get hit. We're across the street from the Count Basie Theater. It's an 1,800 seat theater. This place I'm working at is going to get jammed, you know, for a dinner. It's going to be a popping couple of hours. I'm telling this guy that, you know, one of his cooks or waiters, whatever I was that night, was taken off, right, and blowing out at any point in time, leaving the line to go out and drink. And I get on the phone, I'm like, oh, Eddie, dude, here's the story. I'm leaving that guy, this effing guy. You know, he told me, you know, throw out everything and whatever. I guess I need a sponsor. Then I call up Peter. He's in Texas. God, you know, what am I going to do? And Eddie was just like, hey, listen, no, this is what you're going to do. What you're going to do is like, you know the answer. You're going to go home right now, or you're going to sit down right now, and you're going to write a four-column inventory as to why you are annoyed with this guy. You're going to take a look at what he did and why it's upset you. You're going to see the things that affects in you, and you're going to write down where you were selfish, where you've been dishonest, where you're afraid, and where you're self-seeking, specifically with this issue. These are the instructions. You know the instructions. Sit down, write the inventory, and whatever. Let me know what you're going to do after that. If I have to pick you up and hang out with you for a little while after work, I'll do that. But write the inventory. Put it down on paper. Black and white. This is the way this thing works. Boom. Sometimes those experiences are like that. I have another guy in AA walking me off the ledge. You know, hey, you know, I'm jumping, dude. I don't care. It's all right. You know, jumping is certainly an option. I'm going to throw a couple more options your way. You know, after you can you work on some of these things. Another one. Hey, what was this? I bought my ticket, my mother tickets for a Broadway play, right? You know, Christmas, big whatever. It's a snow day. She decides I'm not going, and I start screaming. I'm plowing snow so she can get out to the Broadway show, and I'm giving the finger outside. Well, I'm a total maniac. Same thing. This ain't working right. I have my father who doesn't believe in a lot of this stuff. He just believes don't drink, not go to meetings. He just believes stop. He doesn't understand alcoholism as I understand it, as we understand it here, as this book understands it. He's just like, you stop. I had my father come out that day and go, you know, maybe today's a good day for you to go to one of those meetings. Like, maybe you should. And you want to know, there I was, you know, Tony. I call Tony out in the Bronx. Hey, dude, whatever, you know, whatever. Tony goes, hey, Mike, when's the last time you had a cigarette? I said, well, you know, it's like 30 days ago. He goes, you know what? You know, that's what happens when you haven't had a cigarette in 30 days. Right. You know, you're detoxing and whatever. He's like, I said, but it wasn't like this. But he's like, trust me, I know, 30 days, you start to go nuts and whatever. And all of a sudden, just his little calm voice about, you know, hadn't had a cigarette, maybe blame it on the cigarettes, don't blame it on mom, you know, don't blame it on me, don't blame it on the snow, whatever, you know. And he just says, you know, well, maybe it has something to do with cigarettes. And then Eddie, the same thing. I called Eddie after that. Hey, why don't you sit down, write a little inventory. I'll tell you what, I'll go to the play with you. What is it? The show about Vince Lombardi? Oh, that sounds like a great show. Let's go. Front row, center. Let's go. Let's make a night of it. We'll get some sushi. We'll hang out in the city, whatever. You know? And, you know, I didn't lose my cool that day. At the end of the night and after that experience, I went to my father. And I said, Dad, and I cried. I said, Dad, I'm sorry. I treated you unfairly. I treated you with respect. In fact, actually, Dad, you came out and told me Mommy wasn't feeling well, that this is what's going to happen, that, you know, you're going to go with me to the play. And instead, I acted like an insolent little child who has to have the things go the way he wants. And you want to know something, Dad? You actually offered me an opportunity to sit down with you in the center of a Broadway play. And because of my ego and my craziness and my selfishness and my plans, I blew an opportunity to spend a one-on-one day with my dad. I'm sorry, Dad. And he was annoyed. He goes, it's all right. It's okay. You know. But I said, Dad, if there's anything I could do, he's like, it's all right. You know. Go to the show. Have a good time. Do what you got to do. You know. Everything's going to be all right here. You know. But that was the result of me doing a 10-step. That's the result of me doing this process. That's what it was like. An earlier recovery for me. Then later on, I had another guy take me through this process, and this guy said something like this. You don't need an alcoholic to tell you're selfish, dishonest, and fearful. Like, what if there's no AA around? What if nobody's answering their phone? What if you're on the middle of the sales floor and everyone's yelling and screaming, you can't go, time out, sorry everybody, 10 step over here, I got to write some inventory, I got a list of alcoholics I need to talk to about why you're such a jerk. You know, that's not what goes on, right? What about real life stuff? You know, what about real life stuff? How do you deal with that? You know? Can't make the calls. No one's answering the phone. This guy says to me, you can tell anybody. You can tell anybody where you're selfish and dishonest. Right? You know, hey, how are you? How are you today, the girl at the Dunkin' Donuts? You know, how's it going today? Well, to be honest with you, I'm trusting my finite self instead of infinite God. I'm being selfish and self-centered, you know. But to be honest with you, miss, I'm making a turn, you know, towards better things in my life. And so I just want you to know that I appreciate your being here for me and that I love you and I thank you so much for the work that you do here, you know. You guys are great and that's why I'm here at Dunkin' Donuts, you know. You know. For sure. You know. And then, you know, he would say something like that. You know, he may say something like, he would tell me, you know, how are you today, sir, lady at ShopRite, let's say. Well, my pea brain is trying to figure out, you know, why everybody walks around on their cell phones in the middle of the New York City walkways and doesn't walk anywhere. They just sit on their phones and whatever. And my pea brain figures out how the whole world is supposed to work. You know what? The truth of the matter is, I should have left 15 minutes earlier today, you know? But because I'm so selfish and self-centered, I have these ideas about how the rest of the world's supposed to be, you know? You know, I'm making a turn towards better things. Is there anything I can do to help you out? You know? Something like that. I mean, that, you know, sometimes, and he says, you know, it could be encapsulated, I'm not doing God's will. I need to be turning around towards better things. I'm supposed to be living a spiritual life. I'm not being very spiritual. You know, thank you for asking, you know. But he would say, I can bring this up to other people. An example of that, there was this guy. He was a French guy at the restaurant that I was working in New York City. French guy. He would be the type of guy that would show up on my inventory every day. He'd be that guy, right? He's showing up every day, whatever. And on this particular day, he was my boss. He was like that in between, like, he was my boss. On this day, he was my boss. On this day, he told me to do something. And on this day, I was like, screw you, dude, whatever. You know? Go inside, cool down, ask God to remove my fear. You know? I'm just trying to control the whole world. This guy's a sick guy just like myself. Love and tolerance is my code. I go, hey, and thankfully I forget this guy's name. Hey,
Pierre,
you know, can I take a walk outside with you for a second? Hey, Pierre, at this point in time, nobody in that job knows I'm an alcoholic, that I'm in AA and doing this thing, right? I wasn't necessarily comfortable with breaking my anonymity in this particular case. And I said, hey, Pierre, Just so you know, I'm trying to live by spiritual terms. You know, I'm trying to live a spiritual life. I'm trying to be a better man. I haven't really been a great guy in my past. I'm trying to do things better. And to be honest with you, Pierre, I totally treated you with disrespect. You're my boss. You asked me to put some things away. You asked me to fill up some water glasses. You asked me to do some things. And I responded to you in a way that was completely disrespectful, in a way that you don't deserve to be treated. You know, you're the boss, you're the manager of the day. Your day is just as difficult as mine, if not worse, because you got guys like me trying to do your job. So, you know, if you will, I apologize and, you know, please forgive me for my behavior towards you. There's ways to be doing this stuff without having to announce you're an AA and that, you know, you're doing a 10 step. It doesn't need to be an alcoholic. You can tell somebody straight up, right out, how you are and what you're doing. Right? Now, maybe in some cases, you know, you ask God for tact and common sense, that that's not the way to go about it. Maybe the girl on ShopRite's day is bad enough. She doesn't need to hear about your issues with traffic or whatever like that. Or in my case, like the subway. I can't always find myself in a good spot to tell people on the subway the crazy things in my head. And my current sponsor, he would tell me, send a text. And I'm like, dude, that's not the way you do it. Right? That's not the way you do it. I'm not doing any, you know, electronic 10-step here. You know, I'm book, making a call, talking to an alcoholic or somebody one-on-one. You do this text thing. He goes, hey, listen, there's a whole group of us. I'm going to fill you in on the group text. I'm like, oh, gosh, you know, whatever. Well, guess what? On the subway, you know, I'm objectifying, you know, spring and summertime, I'm objectifying on the subway. It's eating me up. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, I get this whiff, strong scent of a powder that I really enjoy. I get this, shoot, like, where is that smell coming from, right? Now I'm objectifying these people, whatever. I know I got a problem with this stuff. I'm holding my book up like this. Dear God, whatever. It's not working. I'm trying to cover my eyes. Please don't, you know, whatever. Boom, all right, fine, stupid. I'll do your dumb texting. You know, whatever. I'm being selfish. How? I'm objectifying people on the subway. I'm being dishonest because I'm looking for God in all of these people, which is absolutely ridiculous. Only God can relieve me of my alcoholism and my other thoughts and things like this. I resent myself for not being better. And I resent this effing guy on the subway who's singing and doing this other stuff. And, you know, all I want is, you know, this person to come over and do all the things that are in my head. And the lie is that somehow she's going to fit my sex ideal. Mm-hmm. I'm now turning my thoughts to my sponsee, who I'm going to be sitting with tonight after work. I'm thinking physically, but quite literally, how I might be able to be of help and of service to him, and maybe in hopes that to find somebody at work where I don't have to, you know, where I can also, who's also having a bad day, and maybe I can help them, bless them with some sort of good news of some way, shape, or form. Sometimes doing that particular action, it goes away from the second it's out there, from the second I'm running. Usually by the time I'm hitting selfish, objectifying, and whatever, it's already going away. It's already slipping away. It's already gone. And boom, it's out there. And if there's things to be considered, now I've got my sponsor who's got me on a group text of 10 different people. I got other people who are like powerhouses in AA that I totally respect, who are like, dude, it's not your life. You're not in control. She's just being who she is. Why don't you just be, you know, I mean, I get people who give me some honest feedback on how to proceed throughout the day, you know, or this particular situation, you know, when I get out of the subway or whatever the story is. So it's been helpful to me in that respect. Am I telling you that's how you got to do it? That's just how my sponsor had me doing it for a bit. And one time I sent out the text and the feeling didn't go away. And I was just like not doing good. That scent was there. It was crazy. The situation over here was too much. And I'm just looking, God, I'm looking down and I'm just praying and whatever. And all of a sudden, the guy next to me goes like this. Boom. Hits me on the shoulder. Hands me a piece of gum, which I don't like. Hands me a piece of gum. And he says, sometimes something sweet is nice. Mm. Just something like that. And I take it, I rip it in half, I put it in my mouth. From the second that gum hits my mouth, everything goes away. Mm-hmm. God sent me an angel.
Yeah.
You know, here you go. Don't worry. You know, I'm relieving you of your alcoholism. You asked for me to do this, I got you covered. It's good. Go help somebody. Right? Sometimes I'm doing that thing, the person's across the way, oh my gosh, oh, she looked at me, oh my God, you know, whatever, I look like a doofus, my hair's all gray, I didn't shower, whatever the story, I'm wearing the pants for the same week, you know, the stupid New York jacket, it's mustard brown, this ain't happening, there's no way she's going to be attracted to me, whatever like that, you know, whatever, I got us getting married, we're not getting married, dear God, please remove, you know, thank you God for courage, strength, and direction, thank you God for courage, strength, and direction. Thank you, God, for courage, strength, and direction. Thank you, God, for a positive self-image. Thank you, God, for a positive sex image. Dear God, please mold me and help me to live up to my sexual ideal. Dear God, please remove my selfishness, honesty, resentment, fear. As soon as I open my eyes, she smiles.
Mm-hmm.
Has nothing to do about her wanting to marry me anymore. Has nothing to do about, you know, if I should now make the move. Mm-hmm. She smiled. God said, it's good. I love you. I'm here. You know, just a smile from somebody. You know, when it is on, and I call this thing it, right? The it, you know, that feeling that takes place between here and here. This is where it is on me. If it's a resentment, if it's a sick thought, if it's a crazy temptation that I know I can't be going on, and it's here. It's like the Hulk turning me all different colors to green. I you know, it's on. Sometimes I'm dropping to my knees right then, right there. Doesn't matter where I am. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if I'm in New York City, walking the streets. Doesn't matter if I'm on the subway. Doesn't matter if I'm at work. Doesn't matter if I'm at an AA meeting. Doesn't matter if I'm dropping. Now, if I think I'm making a scene for myself so everyone can center around me, look at the nut job on the floor, whatever, I may go into the bathroom at work, get on my knees. Dear God, please push back the darkness. Push back the darkness, God. Push it back. Push back the darkness, Lord. And then I'll say things like this. Dear God, I am staying right here on my knees right now, and I am going to sit with you however long it takes until you remove it or make it better for me to get up here and deal with whatever it is that's out the other side of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit there. I kneel there. I stay there. And in practice, sometimes it's 15 minutes. Sometimes it's 25 minutes. Sometimes it's 3 minutes. And by the more often I do it, the quicker it usually goes. The quicker he takes it, the quicker. Not that it's all of a sudden gone. Not that the mountain is moved. But all of a sudden it's like, hey, guess what? It's not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to get in your car. You're going to drive. And you're just going to call him. And you're going to tell him you're going to be 15 minutes late. That's the way it's going to go. Whatever that thing is. And I've been given whatever it is I need to make it through it, over it, alongside of it, deal with it, or face the next minute. And if it comes up again 2 minutes later, on my knees, here we go. Then, after I say, push back the darkness, push back the darkness, push back the darkness, I get up off my knees, and I start looking for the signs of God's power in my life. I start looking immediately. Now I'm looking towards good things. Right? And it could be a smile. It could be a flower. You know, it could be a scent of something nice. It could be, you know, I'm passing a bakery and there's cannolis in the front window. Signs of whatever the spirit alive in my life let me know I'm here. I love you. Everything's going to be okay. It's not that big of a deal. You know, you're just an alcoholic. This is my way of asking you to come talk to me for a little while. I got your back, dude. Right? These are some of the things that I do, I work with now. And this is the way I work with it now. Now, it says also, that's a good question, page 84, down in the paragraph, says, my next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. What does that mean? What does that mean, understanding and effectiveness? Well, one is, right, I'm in AA. This is a big book,
mm-hmm.
right? So here I am to grow in understanding of this book, the 12 steps, and the effectiveness of carrying that out.
Mm-hmm.
Dear God, please help me to grow in understanding of this work, the 12 steps, and the effectiveness of carrying this out. What else could there be? Well, here I'm going to give you a great example that's in my life very current today. Dear God, please help me to grow in understanding of the 12 traditions. And the effectiveness of carrying those out.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Well, I got a sex ideal. I struggle with some of those things, right? Dear God, please help me to grow an understanding of your sex ideal for me and give me the power to be effective in carrying out that ideal that you have created for me. What else? Well, I may be working with other books. On the next page, it suggests working with some other books or asking people for help or working with some other concepts. So I say, dear God, please help me to grow an understanding of that reading that you put in front of me and the effectiveness of carrying that message out. You know, help me to grow an understanding of your love for me, your will for me, the one that's in this book and the others that have yet to be revealed. Help me to grow an understanding of that and the effectiveness of carrying that out. Right? So, today, not to cross-pollinate pages here, but on the next page it says, I review the 24 hours ahead. Okay? And now I've written a lot of nightly review. I've written a lot of inventory. I know Pierre is on there, right? I know the Subway people are on there, right? They've been on the past 10 nightly reviews. They've been on the past 10 resentments. You know, I know that the guy who, you know, makes that noise when they chew their food or whatever that annoys the crap out of me, they're on there, right? All of this stuff, right? I know it. I know it's going to be on there. You know? So here, it goes like this. I take those names from the night before. I take those scenarios from the night before, or the days before, the weeks before. I know Pierre is going to be at work. And it looks like this. Dear God, this brings me to step 10, which suggests that I continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes I go along. God, thank you for the power to vigorously commence this way of life, and to continue to clean up my past. Help me to enter the world. Thank you for allowing me to enter the world of your spirit. My next function is to now go out and grow an understanding and effectiveness of this book, and grow an understanding of this book and the effectiveness of carrying that out. Help me to grow an understanding of your will for me and the effectiveness of carrying this out. And I know it's not an overnight matter, dear God. I know this is going to go on for me and you for the rest of my life. But dear God, today, right now, please help me to watch for selfishness like the people on the subway. Help me to leave 15 minutes earlier so I'm not angry at everybody who's in my way walking on the sidewalks. Help me to watch for resentment like with that guy Pierre. When I go in there, God, I'm going to go in, and instead of running and going and getting changed and hoping I don't make eye contact with him from the second I walk in, I'm going to go up to him and say, "Hey, Pierre, how are you doing today? How's your wife? How are you doing on that nursing job that you're studying for? Did you do good on the test? Hope everything's all right. Is that a new shirt?" Right? Now I'm going in, and I'm now watching not only the 24 hours ahead, but now I'm watching myself show up differently for all of these activities. I'm watching myself show up differently to Pierre. I'm watching myself show up differently to the people on the subway. If somebody on the subway is a way that I find tempting or annoying or distracting or whatever, I'm going to get up and I'm going to move my chair. I'm going to get off at the next stop. I'm going to step outside on the platform. I'm going to go into the next car. Right? You know, help me to watch for dishonesty, like the lies that I tell myself, you know, that I'm ugly, or that no one's going to like me, or no one's going to love me for who I am. You know, those stories that just aren't true, dear God. You know, those stories that I tell myself that always bring me away from you. You know, or that Pierre is doing it on purpose, or that the people are doing it on purpose, and that there's this entire plot, you know, going on, you know, to subvert my day, right? And fear of what others think, fear of being alone, especially the fear of being alone. And when I see that girl that I talked to yesterday, help me to be caring and loving and kind and treat her like a fellow sister, a fellow daughter. I'm going to look her in the eyes, God. I'm going to take an interest in her day, and I'm not going to look at her in any other way other than as a pure daughter and a sister, your daughter and a sister of mine. I'm going to reach out my hand. I'm going to say, thank you very much. You know, welcome to the restaurant. Welcome to the home group, whatever it is. And I'm going to treat them with the respect that they deserve. And if any of these things do crop up, dear God, I will come to you. Give me the common sense to come to you at once and ask for them to be removed. If I need to, help me to discuss them with someone immediately. And most importantly, dear God, because I'm such a knucklehead and I always forget this one, please help me to resolutely turn my thoughts to someone I can help. Love and tolerance of others is my code. Thy will, not my will, be done. And that's kind of how now the 10th step is for me. I'm not waiting. I'm watching. If I'm doing my inventory work, if I'm reading this every day, if I'm asking God to open my eyes and show me things, I'm going to already know this conversation is going to make me uncomfortable. This job's going to make me angry. This situation's going to do whatever based upon my experience of how selfish and self-centered I am. These are the lies that I always tell myself in this situation. So now these are the actions that I'm going to take showing up differently. And thank you, God, for the awareness of doing these things. And if other things show up, please help me to do these other things the right way, the way you would want me to. When my sponsor took me to this, and he asked me the questions, are you feeling this way? Is this whatever? Is this how you react? Are you recalling from a hot flame? I'm going to tell you a real-life scenario with alcohol. So, I'm at the Madison Square Garden. I'm at a Phish concert. Phish is a rock and roll band. Lots of conference-approved substances are at these shows. A lot more than probably most concerts. Booze, you name it, right? My type of people. And I go see them all the time, and I'm safe and protected. There's also a table or tables at these concerts where sober Phish heads hang out. And, you know, I use it to do 10 steps, or they have meetings at halftime, mm-hmm. or we get together and share some candy, or I meet some people who were there for the first time trying to stay sober. Maybe I can help them out with something. I give them my phone number, text me 911. If you got a thing, I'll meet you right here at this table. We're going to sit down and pray, do whatever we got to do. We'll get you through this day, whatever it is, right? So here it is. It's great. It's MSG. It's like New Year's Eve run. It's cool. I'm sitting with some non-sober people. It doesn't matter. They're not friends of mine. I'm going by myself. I'm safe and protected. I'm like totally cool. Boom. I'm hanging out with some cats. I got a Coca-Cola in front of me. Take the halftime hits. Take the Coca-Cola. I'm walking away from my chairs. I'm into like, you know, it's like the cows moving kind of scenario. And I start sucking on my soda, right? I go like that real fast. I suck it down. As it's gone down and in my mouth, I realize, holy cow, Jack Daniels. Like Jack Daniels. Now I got I already swallowed some Jack Daniels, right? And how funny, too. Because I was a guy in early day drinking. Jack Daniels knocked me down. I said, I'm never doing that again. Did all the other stuff. But I shied away from Jack. You know, I did the other bourbons, loved scotch, all this other stuff. Doesn't matter, but that's my... For some reason, on this particular occasion, while I got a mouthful of Jack Daniels, I'm like, man, that's tough. This is all right. Like, I didn't have that, like, oh, Jack feeling. It was like, Jack, you know what I mean? Whoa. And I got a mouthful of Jack.
Right.
And there's tons of people around. And I just go, dear God, please remove the obsession, compulsion, thought, and desire to drink. Dear God, please remove the obsession. And I don't spit it out like this or anything like that and get it all over the people in front of me or whatever. I just, boom, instinctively, I go, I find a waste basket, go to the waste basket, spit out the rest of it. I then calmly and coolly, don't make a scene of it, go over near that table where there's like now like a lot of those sober fish heads around. I go right up in the corner, put my nose and face up against the concrete wall of MSG, and I go, dear God, please remove the obsession, compulsion, thought, and desire to drink. Dear God, please show me where I can be of help to somebody. And I just sit there on my knees in Madison Square Garden amongst the craziness and the insanity, whatever, not caring if anybody sees me, whatever. I'm here with God. I'm doing my private thing. Please remove these things. Please take care of me. I know, you know, you know where I am with this stuff. And then walked up, went over to the table. They had a bit, and this usually doesn't happen, but on this particular day, they had a, you know, king size Snickers bar. I usually have these little suck ons, whatever. But I wanted to get that flavor of Jack out of my mouth. Thankfully, big king size Snickers. Chomped on that, chomped on that, chomped on that. And for the second, then I 10th stepped it. Right? After the crew went away, after the party went on, the second set goes on, I told the person at the table, this is what's going on, this is whatever, whatever, and no, I'm just going to sit here. Can I help you with something? No? All right, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to stay here and wait for somebody I can help. Mm. I'm just going to sit right here and wait for somebody I can help. And then, you know, eventually, somewhere in the set, somebody had some drama. I don't know if they were tripping or if they were, whatever the story was, I sat with somebody, I talked with them for like, whatever it was, 10 or 15 minutes. Normally, I'm not a guy who likes to miss music whatsoever. In fact, it makes me uptight. Here I am, totally calm to sit with this person, whatever. Boom, as soon as that action was done, as soon as they left, boom, let me go back to my chair. Let me enjoy the rest of the show. I'm not angry about anything I missed. And, you know, my sponsor said to me, well, it seems like to me you reacted sanely and normally.
Mm.
You know, when it came to alcohol, you didn't make a big deal. You didn't make a fuss. You didn't draw attention to yourself. You didn't decide to like, oh, once you realize what it is, I'm going to take another hit since it's in my mouth and whatever. You reacted sanely and normally. You asked God. You turned to the power. That thing was removed. The power knows that your intentions were pure and whatever. It just happens to be you're next to the alcoholic or the other guy drinking. You grabbed his soda or he grabbed yours or whatever, and that's the deal. And as it turns out, I held on to that soda. I went back to that guy and said, dude, I got you, Jack. I got your Coke. And he's sucking on my soda like, really? I'm like, yeah, dude, trust me. Trust me, you got mine. You know what I mean? He doesn't even know he's drinking Coke. No, this is yours. Mm-hmm. Do you want mine? No, it's all right. I bought another one. It was good. You know? And safe and protected. Reacted sanely and normally. You know? In the sunlight of the spirit. You know? I reacted like a flame. So there are areas where I can see in my real life where this stuff is showing up at work. He says, well, that sounds like the 10-step promises. Move on. You know, let's do the next step. So I do look forward to hearing anybody else's feedback and experience or anything else that comes from the next pitch of time. And thank you.